It's lovely to see you all. Welcome to our third act of online worship. And a particularly warm welcome to Bishop Jonathan, who I shall unmute. Hello, Bishop.
Good morning. Jonathan. Good morning, everybody. Lovely to be with you.
So in a moment, I will lead us in some prayer. Then I will unmute so that I should have spotlighted myself. Here we go. Anyway, lovely to see you all. In a moment, I will unmute everybody so that you can all say hello to each other. Okay. And then we will probably mute you all again. The reason for that is because of lag and feedback. It does get very, it's an excellent way to reenact the situation at Babel, really. So we'll say, get you all to say hello to each other, and then we'll mute you. And that also improves the quality of the singing as well. Not because I think that all of you sound awful, but because with the lag, even if you're singing in time to your screen, you're not in time to everybody else's screens. So let's pray, shall we? Father God, we give you thanks and praise that we can come together. We can meet in this way as the body of Christ, despite the physical distance between us and the isolation in our homes. And we thank you that by your Spirit you join us together, even though we may be physically separated. So help us to have a real sense of your presence with us, and may we hear the wind of the Spirit speak through the worship and through the praise and through the word of the gospel. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here is one I made earlier. Because we have not been able to give you palm crosses, we sent out a link on how to make a palm cross out of paper, or suggested that you find one from previous years. So, excellent. I can see some. I can't see everybody. So please do have these, because we will be using them during our worship in different ways. If you look at mine, you can see that mine's got some sellotape on it. And that's because this is the first one I made, and I made a fundamental mistake at the beginning. My second one was much better, looked like a proper palm cross, and I gave that one to Fiona. So, but I thought it was best for me to stick with the sellotape one, just in case yours, like mine, has too much sellotape, because at the end you realised it wouldn't stay together. So we're going to, we can't process physically, unless you wish to get up and process around your room to All Glory, Lord and Honour, in which case feel free. But I wonder that we could, when we come to that, be using our palm crosses. So I'm going to unmute Alan in case there's anything he wishes to say of a technical nature.
Yeah, just a couple of things. When we have one of our songs from Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe, that one has music and lyrics, but there's no one singing on that. All the other songs, you'll see the lyrics, hear the music, and hear someone leading the singing. During the service, everyone will be muted, apart from the person or persons who are meant to be reading or speaking or leading at that moment. Do bear in mind that we've got 55 people so far, and like last week, there are bound to things that go wrong. So please, can we have your patience? I'll find one or two more things that should help me, so I shouldn't be searching for people like I was last time. I think that's it from me. So, Mark, if you'd like to go ahead and start this.
Okay. Right. Okay. So, if we can have the opening liturgy then, please, Alan. So, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Say to the daughter of Zion, See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. And we all say together, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And we now sing, All Glory, Lord, and Honour. I'd like you to please hold your palm crosses in your hands, because the palm cross, of course, holds together the praise of Hosanna and the crowd to Jesus and the journey of the cross. And so as we hold this symbol of the crowd singing praise and the Jesus's death on the cross for our sins, we're going to use this as a physical reflection of the journey of confession we're taking today. So let's pause for a moment, shall we, as we bring our lives before God and seeking his Holy Spirit's grace, power, and clarity in terms of how we need to change. We find it easy to shout Hosanna, but also easy to ignore your call on our lives. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We find it easy to be with the throng claiming to be close to Jesus, but fail to follow when called to make sacrifices we do not want to make. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. We are quick to want the blessings of faithfulness, but slow to accept the pain and suffering required of living like Jesus. Lord, have mercy.
Lord,
have mercy. And now I'll ask Bishop Jonathan if he may give us the absolution, please.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
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 And now we're going to sing some songs of worship.
Sadness from wherever you've been. Come broken hearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do.
Palm Sunday, as Mark's already reminded us in the Palm Cross itself, holds together two themes: the triumphal nature of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on a donkey, hailed as king, and just a few days later, the pointing forward to his betrayal, arrest, trials, suffering, and final agony on the cross. We have rejoiced in this brief moment of his earthly glory. And we turn now to the story of his passion, which we hear in sections, each read by a different voice and each followed by a verse from a hymn, which I will sing. We hear the story in St. Matthew's version, starting as the Last Supper comes to an end.
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even though I die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for his eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
"Please watch and pray with me a while, a sad forlorn request. Please walk with me this final mile, but they, like us, have failed the test, asleep while Jesus cries. Asleep while Jesus cries."
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you are here to do." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus, so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?"
Now stinging slaps smart on his face, scorn ringing in his ears. Why should he suffer this disgrace? For all our sorrows, pains and tears are held in his embrace, are held in his embrace.
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly, you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know the man." At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly.
It wasn't meant that harsh denial to reach his master's ear. He only thought to watch the trial, but then surrendered to his fear. We too make such denials. We too make such denials.
When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave them no answer, not even a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Jesus? Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" And all of them said, "Let him be crucified." And then he asked, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather than a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So he released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. They led him away to crucify him.
We see you burdened with that tree. We long to bear its weight, to know how rough its splinters feel, go stumbling through the crowded gate, to share your agony, to share your agony.
As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put a charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests too, also along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and then we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he wants to, for he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lemi sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now, when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son."
In darkness and in gloom, it's done, that final fateful hour. The offering up of God's own son, so freely made, strips death of power, and so love's victory is won, and so love's victory is won. And so love's victory is won. I wrote that hymn 28 years ago
whilst I was on my first pilgrimage to the Holy Land, in the wake of being in the places where these events unfolded. As some of you know, indeed, a few Mattishall folk were with me. Just a few weeks ago, I was co-leading another pilgrimage there. I felt again what a very powerful and moving experience it is. I guess that for each of us, there will have been particular moments that struck home, some of them in great contrast to each other. I will, I think, always remember the moment of sudden and complete calm in the middle of a sea of Galilee. Everything around us was still, and there was Jesus in the midst of us, just as he had been for his original disciples on that very bit of water. And then the walk along what's called the Via Dolorosa was a complete contrast. We were rushed along this crowded, narrow street as it twisted and turned through a busy market, following Jesus's route from trial to crucifixion that we have just heard about, and rushed through it in just the same way that he had been. It was a different kind of reality from that moment on the lake. And different too were the current realities faced by the young students at Bethlehem University, amazingly hopeful Palestinians in the midst of immense difficulty and periodic persecution. As were the realities of recent memories for Jews, who still so clearly live under the shadow of the Holocaust. And our final service together as a band of 55 pilgrims will always stay with me too, as we gathered inside the church built on one of the possible sites for the village of Emmaus. They don't know where exactly the village was. Mostly, our communion services were outside, but here we were allowed inside to celebrate in the church as we remembered the appearance of the risen Jesus to those two sad pilgrims, only one of whose names we know, walking away from Jerusalem. And then, in the wake of this powerful pilgrimage, as we returned, it seemed as though we were almost immediately in a new reality, the current reality of life lived in the presence of this dreadful virus. Holy Week, of course, is about reliving Jesus's passion, every moment of it. And this year, for all of us, I guess, Christian or not, there's a fresh reality about that. Just yesterday, I heard of a godson who has it, with a soaring temperature, shut off from the rest of his family. And then, it seems just minutes later, I heard of another member of our wider family who has it. And she really is shut off entirely from her husband and her son, and who's expected to die within the next few hours. The facing of death on our own is agonizing, both for the one who suffers it, and even more for those who want to be at their sides. And so for all of us, the reliving of Jesus's passion this week has an extraordinary reality about it. And I find myself thinking, the deeper reality is that he always lives our sufferings with us. In all that we and the world undergo, he never comes off that cross. Even in his risen glory, on Easter day, he remains the crucified Christ. For all of us this year, Holy Week will last much longer than just these few days. But so too will the reality of transforming resurrection. They are always bound together, cross and empty tomb. But this year, they will seem so much more so. So as we enter this week, let us hold in prayer those who suffer with us, those we know and those we don't know, and hold them together with our crucified and risen Lord, who we know is always with us. Amen.
And so we're now going to declare our faith in the light of that message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who came to from heaven to earth to die on the cross for our sakes, and whose journey to Holy Week we are walking ourselves as we sing, From Heaven You Came. And this has no song words to it, sung words, and the ones you will be singing yourselves. We're going to now turn to a time of prayer. Can I invite you to pick up again your palm crosses as we have our intercessions? First of all, our intercessions are going to start with the sense of the palm cross being a palm of praise, as it was waved by those who were with Jesus. Why were they praising God? They were praising God for what they perceived, what Jesus had done, the miracles, the healings. They were giving thanks to God for what they hoped was going to be his salvation. And so we're going to say and pray for those for whom we wish to say thank you to God for what they're doing and who they are. So, Father God, we pray for our world in the midst of all its turmoil, especially in the light of the COVID-19 virus. But yet we do have much to give thanks for. And so we want to thank you. We want to say Hosanna for those who are even now working hard to bring us all that we need. So we thank you for the NHS, for doctors and nurses and paramedics, for cleaners and those working in hospitals in other roles, backroom and feeding and delivering and all the other things. Because we know that there are so many people and families who at this moment are relying on them. We thank you for those who have put themselves at risk. And we pray that they might get the equipment that they need to do their jobs to the best of their ability in a way that is safe. But we also give you thanks for those who are in shops, those who are in logistics. We thank you for those who are doing the telephones and the internet on which we rely so much more. We thank you for our government and for those who are seeking to deliver things that were unthinkable a month ago in quick time. And we pray for those who are still at work. For all those things, we give you thanks, praying that through them, individuals and your nation will receive the healing that they need. Life-giving Lord, we respond, hear us, we pray. And I'm going to pause for a moment and just allow each one of you to bring to God those elements of praise. What is it that in your life at the moment makes you shout Hosanna? For whom is it that you want to say thank you to God? And so we draw those prayers together as we say, life-giving Lord, hear us, we pray. And I invite you to look at your palm cross again and see now the shape of the cross, that journey that we've just walked in Matthew's Gospel. And of course, Jesus was crucified for many reasons, for the sake of the sins of the world and ours, because of the hatred of those in leadership, the fear of Pilate that there might be a riot, all the twisted motives that lay behind Jesus ending up on the cross. And so we pray for our world of twisted motives, where people do not always act in accordance with the way they should, whether it be in leadership, whether it be allowing fear to take over, so that they now have more toilet rolls than they need for the next 5 years. But also, as Bishop Jonathan reminded us, there are many who are going to be walking the journey of the cross this week and in the weeks ahead. And so we lift them and our broken world to God now. So Lord, we pray for our world, where we act in ways that do not honour you, where we allow fear to take over, where we do not treat others in the way that is honouring, where we allow our own motives to take over. And so we pray for our world, for ourselves,
in this Holy Week. We pray that our world will put to death those sinful desires that cause conflict and pain, cause countries and people to hoard, cause some to suffer so much more than others. We pray that out of the evil of this virus, good will come, that we will find that peace which comes only from Jesus. And we also pray for those who are walking the road of the cross, for Bishop Jonathan's family members he mentioned, for those who are not just suffering because of the virus, but because of other things. We pray for Anne Clark's son, who has got cancer. We list others who we know are journeying the road of the cross in suffering and pain and loss and grief. And so we pray, life-giving Lord, hear us, we pray. And so we pray, merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we sing, How Deep the Father's Love for Us, which reminds us that in the cross we see the depth of God's love.
Only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss! The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to finished. Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know.
I ask Bishop Jonathan to give us the blessing. Thank you for joining us this morning for this act of worship. It's been wonderful to gather together again. I realize that I promised you all at the beginning that you were all going to be able to say hello to each other, and then we failed to do it. So in a moment, I'll ask Alan. Well, I can do that, actually. I'll unmute us all. You all say hello, and then I'll mute us all again before our closing prayers. Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. God bless you. God bless you.
After that moment of one of the things we will be exploring over the weeks ahead, there's the ability to sort of subdivide us all into smaller groups. So that's one thing that we'll be exploring in the weeks ahead, is to allow people, you know, so that you can actually talk to each other for a bit during our act of worship. But we'll do that when we can be sure that we'll do it in a way that's helpful. We have Holy Week, we will be having Holy Week events. They will be different from the ones that we'd planned before, but we will still be gathering together. And we will please look at your emails for more details of those this week. But I did give you the times for some of those key things. Also, there is morning prayer each day at 9 o'clock, and you are very welcome to join that. And again, we will make sure that you've got the details for that in an email later on today. So we do pray that you might have God's blessing on you this Holy Week, and you're able to gather together, and that you keep safe and well. To a troubled world, peace from Christ.
Peace from Christ.
To a searching world, love,
love from Christ. To a waiting world, hope from Christ.
Hope from Christ.
So may Christ crucified draw you to himself, to find in him a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and all those whom you love this day and throughout this week and forever. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you, Bishop Jonathan, for joining us and for your homily. And it's lovely to see you both today. Thank you, and take care, everybody.
And thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Bless a lot of you.
God bless.
Bye, everybody.
Oh, this is the top.
Oh,
this
is
the top.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, David. We've got to sort out the video. Dinner again.
Thank you.